So I'd like to make a motion to come back in to open at 5:41. 5:41.
I'll second that motion.
Mr. Rumble seconds. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item 3, we have a call to the public. Anybody? Nope. Okay. we're fine with that. Item 4, consent agenda, approval of the minutes for January 20th. Do you guys want to go through these individually? Do you have language you want to?
No, I went through them. I didn't change.
Ms. Romero, you have any language changes?
No,
okay.
I didn't.
So do you guys mind if I just go ahead and make a, just include all these just as is? Okay. Pertaining to item 4A, approval of the minutes, I'd like to move to approve the minutes as presented for item A, B, C, and D.
I'll second that motion.
Almost seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Item B, presentation of the July financial report. Ms. Horton?
Yes, ma'am. The July vouchers are listed there. They started out small in the payroll vouchers, but they got a little larger in the second one because we had a few more people come back.
And we don't do copies of our financial, do we?
No.
Okay. All right, I'm sorry.
No problem. We had the top line of the expense. That's a large increase there over the second one is the health insurance first payment and some other software licenses that are in that group. And then we have the two payroll vouchers. And like I said, the first one starts out small. It's just a few people on it. And the second one is getting a few more people on board. So that's July vouchers. And the only vouchers are in the packet are July. August isn't here yet, so we didn't put August in here.
Can I
apologize
for down
the
sorry. And the last time we did, we had a lot of things with Chase. Now, Chase is our credit card, is that just our account?
Chase, you're probably looking at the payroll piece, and that is all where the taxes go into and the retirement, et cetera. And then they get pulled out of that to go make the payments for them.
Okay. All right. Y'all have any questions?
And if you guys are all right with just continuing down through what we can do with the consent agenda, you can actually go right all the way through everything and then just make one motion at the end. And we've already made one already, but if you want to do that with the consent agenda, that's what will help speed your meeting up.
So you don't want us to just do...
You don't have to do each single point. You can just do one at the end of the whole entire consent agenda, unless there are things you want pulled out.
Okay, so right now we have no further discussion on this
right,
item.
Right, if there's no further discussion, then just move on to the
next
letter.
Item.
And
so in the end, we go ahead and do B, like C, D, and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Alrighty, perfect. So we have no further discussion, so we're good on financial right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Item C, approval of the July and August vouchers to date. So we've discussed that. So we'll move on to our substitute list.
There's just one sheet in there. We have calls out. There are a couple of people that haven't called us back yet. But if you if you know of anybody who wants to substitute, I do have one person that volunteered to help after school. And I'll work on her, but.
Why are we looking at her? Is it her?
Mrs. Yeah. Almost volunteered to.
She can
holler at the crowd with the best of them, so I told her I'll have to take her up on that when I'm.
Well, thank you.
Good job.
You have to watch her people running over cones. We found that.
Yeah.
I did.
She heard it, apparently.
I'm sorry.
You need more cones? That's what we need.
We for sure need one now.
I go, we need a brighter one and a bigger one.
I think we need one of those flashing light on.
You want to correct that order instead of 3 feet? You want
I said 3 foot orange cone, so that's what I
You want it higher than 3 feet?
I don't know. They won't get much higher. It's still be able to
I know where some are abandoned over by a dumpster where they have the light on them, like this tall.
But I believe this is the most updated list that we have. We have added the person that we approved last time, Judy Bell. But otherwise, those are all the substitutes you had last year. We are waiting for two people to call back that they would still be willing to sub for us, but the rest of them have told Ms. Elias that they are willing to come back when they're available.
This is pretty good. Normally, we always try to carry about a dozen, and then from last year, the number really dropped. So was this nine, I think?
Yeah, some of them are only, I mean, their availability is very limited.
But at least you know that you can go to the next person on the list whenever you have flu season and stuff. So, okay, perfect. Sounds good.
Mr. O is the one that's been substituted.
Matt, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Our old mayor.
Yeah. That's what I found out. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Okay, so we don't have any further discussion on the sub-list either, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Item E, setting school lunch breakfast prices to be competitive and affordable with the A option and B, so one's students and one's adults. I think that's reasonable. I think that at something like 90-something percent of our kids are on the free lunch programs.
It's close to that.
Yeah, it's, I thought it was last year when I was filling out an application, it was running like 92 at that point.
Oh, so, okay. It's usually around 96, 97.
And
so it's not really affecting
Sally came to me, and she was watching the lunch prices in the papers, and we were at a $1 for breakfast and $2.50, I want to say, for lunch for students. And so she just tried to get it close. I think we're still under the other schools, but we're a little more competitive. And it only affects, you know, staff and really if parents come and eat with their kids, and then 8% of our students.
Well, that's why I thought I'd mention it. It doesn't really affect a lot of kids. They don't pay for their lunches.
But by being able to put together good lunches and things like that, it just costs a little bit more, you know.
I don't qualify for the free lunches.
Yeah, we don't want any food going away, that's for sure. Okay, perfect.
So, there's still, honestly, I think the prices that we have are still really very good.
Yeah, competitive. And it's probably been a long time since we've modified any of that.
That's what Sally said. Sally couldn't remember the last time, and Sally said, I've been here for, close to 30 years. So.
Well, see, our audit, they had a lot to say about our food service, and those people work like crazy in there, and they're really committed, but it does operate at a loss.
Okay. Yeah.
And so they've been asking for us to lose somebody in there, to start relying more on commodities. They had all these suggestions. But in the end, it's kind of a wash regardless. So.
Well, you know, honestly, I would venture to guess that if you went just school to school around the whole United States, you're probably at 50-60% of your schools are at a loss in food service.
Right.
Most of them do run. Every now and then you get that weird school. But that's one of the things Sally talked about was we're running at a deficit, but we're only charging $1 for breakfast.
Right.
You know, and it was two something for lunch, so or three. So
and see, Miss Sally's been here a long time, so she's highly experienced, and she definitely is committed to our school for sure. But she also, the thought of her retiring someday just mortifies me because she can do that blindfolded.
Yeah. They work together pretty well.
Yeah, they do. Okay, so do we have any discussion pertaining to the school lunches and so forth?
No.
No? Okay. So we'll move on to F. That's the rest of the consent agenda. Okay, so at this point, we'll be dealing, we already did the minutes, so we'll be doing B through E. Does anybody want to make it?
No, I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda items B, C, D, and E.
I second that motion.
Aye.
Item A on the action items. Presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the increasing pest control contract with Mule Mountain Pest Control. I'd like to increase the service to monthly or bi-monthly instead of quarterly. Is that due to the termite situation?
Termites and ants.
Oh, and ants. It's ants.
I will tell you what. They went out and put a lot of stuff down for the ants, and I almost think it invigorated them. I think honestly, for this calendar year, for this fiscal year, I think we should really, my recommendation would be to go monthly, and let's get the termites taken care of, and we do have a 1-year warranty on what they sprayed, but I think we need to keep up, and then with the ants, hit them hard every month, and get rid of some of these, because we have, I want to say there's about 14 or 15 big ant hills.
They're
and
bad.
We hit them. But they're still, those little buggers are tough, right? And so they're coming back. So if we can hit them every month for a year, I think then we could revisit it and go to every other month. But and that was a discussion that I had with him, was we're doing it quarterly right now, and quarterly just isn't really cutting it. So I think that what we need to do is up that. And I guess my recommendation would be following his recommendation, because he said because of the severity that we have, he thinks we need to go at least monthly for the near future, which to me would be a year.
Okay, and it'll cool off. Right now it's ant season, you know?
Yeah.
But and it is bad, but you don't, the little kids, they have those real red fire ants and those mean little guys, and you don't, those kids get bit by one of those things.
And they've told me, too, that we're going to hit that bee season and everything else. So, I mean, just, I think having them coming out each month to hit everything would be a good idea right now. That would be my recommendation. It's really not that. There's about $300 difference when you look at it, and to go quarterly, which we have been doing, there's almost $500 difference, or $600. So I really think, at least for this year, do it every month. Take care of the problem. We are going to have to replace a pole the way it looks, and that'll be another discussion for us in a month or so, once we get a read on how much damage there really is in a couple of these poles, what we need to do.
As of right now, it's only one pole?
One pole is what he thought. There's a good chance we'll have to replace that one pole. But then, you know, as we replace that one pole, then do you go back to wood, or do you just put, do you go metal? You know, and if you go metal, then all the other poles look different. So eventually, as you have to replace those poles, then do you want to go metal, and do you, you know, and that whole discussion, I think, would be something we can have to look at. And we have a few months. He said it's not something you have to do right now, but he said that they took a pretty good chunk of the strength out of the poles. So he would recommend we get something done within the next calendar year.
Is it this one right here?
Actually, it's right over in front of the office, looking straight out, I want to say, from Donna's office.
The gate used to be
out that way.
Yeah.
Because this one right here has a chunk.
I know. There's all. They all got, all but two of them have chunks out of them.
Oh.
That's why I was really concerned that we were going to have more than just one pole.
How did you even notice that?
Actually, the one that was right outside the back door by Mr. Rodriguez's, it had been plastered. They had tried to fix it, and they had just put plaster in it and hadn't killed, the bugs hadn't been killed. So all of a sudden, the plaster was falling out and loose, and so then you could see that something had been chewing away. It was either rot or something had been chewing away. In my life experience, that's rot, because I'm not used to termites. And so, you know, as soon as we thought, okay, yep, we're down here, termites, so then we got that guy in, and he looked at it, and yeah, it was, so we found the termites, I think, in, I want to say it was in about 9 or 10 poles.
Wow.
There were some termites to some level. So
it's probably be good to be aggressive about.
Yeah, so I would recommend that we do the monthly for this calendar year. I think we revisit it again next June, and then if we've got things under control, we can back it off.
Maybe it'd be a good, you know, plan to kind of offset some of the damage and having to pay for more damage in the end. So do you have any further discussion? Pertaining to item A, I'd like to move that we approve the additional services from Mule Mountain until we get our situation under control.
Second the motion.
Reese the seconds. Ayes.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. B, hire coaches. The recommendation from the athletic director is to hire Ms. Rhodes for the volleyball coaching position for this season, Mr. Hernandez for cross-country, boys basketball track, and Mr. Page for softball and baseball for the fall season. So who recommended these people?
And I was talking with Mr. Hernandez, who we have. I also would like to add his Mr. Hernandez's name as the AD on there. I forgot to include that, and I apologize.
Okay, so Mr. Hernandez included.
Right.
Okay.
So he was the one who brought me the list of coaches. The only one that's still up in the air, I believe, is girls basketball right now.
Right.
That one's still up in the air. So Mr. Page agreed to do softball, and Ms. Rhodes volleyball,
I don't even think she's ever coached athletics before.
One year volleyball back in, I want to say, 12.
No. Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
I just wanted to do the list of all the coaches we could one time instead of bringing it back every 2 months to you guys. And then I'll get the girls basketball coach, which I think starts in January, if I remember right. So I'll get that. And when I know, I'll let you know.
Okay, perfect. Do we have any questions or discussion?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to make a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the coaches as discussed.
I'll second.
Aye.
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 Item C. Approve Jim Gentry power of attorney for the current school calendar year. So that's what we were just discussing already, and so that's just a necessity. So we didn't have any discussion about Jim Gentry.
Mm-hmm. We need to sign that form, and I don't remember the number. It's 20, I want to say 28 something. It's in your packet.
2848?
Okay. So, we don't have a motion on the floor, right?
Okay.
No. We don't have a motion on the floor? You want to make a motion?
Make a motion to approve Jim Gentry, power of attorney for the current school calendar year.
For tax purposes, correct.
For tax purposes, yes.
Second that motion?
Maybe some seconds.
Aye. So, almost made the motion?
Yes.
Okay, Brisa, you second?
Yes.
Okay. Item D, presentation, discussion, possible action regarding Heinfeld and Meach investigation continuation. So I don't think we have any discussion there, do we? Can I make a motion?
D.
You were supposed to motion.
Did you see it?
Well,
no, not yet.
Not yet. Oh, okay.
The next one.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm sorry. That's F.
Okay. Okay. We'll make a motion for the Heinfeld and Medge investigation continuation.
I'll second.
Aye.
Item E, presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the position for support person for special education ELL testing and title paraprofessional for added support for students and staff grades K through 5. So we're discussing, the item is a discussion item in regards to proposing a position for
two
capacity.
Actually two positions. One would fall under the special ed, one would fall under title. The special ed position, I would like to have the ability to explore with the, we could post and also explore with our special ed collaborative to see if we can find someone that has those skills. That's a fairly tight set of skills in the ELL and special ed. And then also with the ELL tied to the Azella testing. So.
That'd be their designated.
They might have somebody, but I would like to post it, and then we could look at whether we want to hire someone or do we want to hire the services.
Right.
If we hire the services, there might be a benefit financially to the district to hire the services, because then you're not paying out benefits. Because a benefit package that we pay out is $7,000 just like that. So you're adding $7,000 on top of whatever you pay any employee that you hire. That equals a benefit package. So I want to look at both of them to see what would be more financially sound. And we need to find someone. We are at 31 IEPs right now. We have 6 504s. That's 37 kids are one special ed teacher services. A caseload should be 16.
Oh wow.
So I mean, and that's not counting 504s. So I mean, we're right now. You're asking one person to do basically two persons' job. Mm-hmm. So we need to get some help. I do think that's possibly why you've had such a high turnover in that area for the last couple of years. And the paperwork's tough. So we do have special ed funding. Sat down with Mike Connolly. We went through it, and we sat down and with Donna, and we talked through both special ed and the title funding, and he had some ideas on some things. And so we do have funding for both of these, but the special ed one would come out of special ed funding. The title para would be, right now to me it looks like a 6-hour position. I could make it longer, but in all honesty, the kids I'm trying to target, we would be done in 6 hours plus a half hour break. So 6.5 hours would put us at about 2:30 or 2:35, and that's right at that time we're getting out of school. So to steal another 10 minutes to help a middle school class wouldn't benefit us much. So I would like to get the ability to post that, and then along with that, I would also like to explore the collaborative to see what they have. I know they told me the other day they had a couple of different people, but you got to find the right person, the right skill set. But it would be something, at least with the collaborative, we could actually get moving faster because you wouldn't have to do a lot of the employment things. And it would be somebody that would already have background checks, licensing, and all that stuff taken care of. So we would still need to probably come back and have a quick special meeting to hire both of these people.
So you're prepared though to post in the event that this goes through.
If we,
and so
if
you'll
we
bring that a public.
We'll post it tomorrow.
Okay.
Yep.
Y'all have any questions?
If it's a part-time position, why do we need to have a benefits package?
Anytime you get past 20, there's a bit of a gray area, and if you get close to 30, you've got to offer full benefits. So there's a discussion of when this would be about 24 hours, and so now you're at that 25 hour. And then there's a discussion of do they get prorated benefits or not, because once they pass 20, I believe, unless the law is different in Arizona, we're in a prorated benefit situation. So they would get 24 divided by 30, which is going to be a high percentage of that $7,000. And so if it's more beneficial to us that we could get a person for less that's as qualified as we could get if we hired somebody specifically. The other benefit is if we get into a situation where all of a sudden you guys say next year we're looking at it, we need to go to a full-time position there, we need to add another special ed teacher, and we have the funding, that's not your employee then, depending upon how you go. I mean, so you don't have the strings that are attached to you there, so you can get in and out of that agreement a little easier. That's why I'd like to look at that, because I do think it might be cheaper, and somebody's doing the vetting for you if they were already checking somebody, because they wouldn't hire somebody or use them if they weren't qualified. Mm-hmm. So that's my rationale.
Okay.
Second question is, will we have the funding for it?
We do have the funding. Mike went through everything, sat down and said we have the funding in both the title. There is another account we can use. We were going to take both teachers out of the title funding. We're only going to take one of the added teachers out of there because there is added funding in one of the 301 accounts that we get money for adding teachers and positions and things. So he said, that money is growing in our account, and he said we needed to spend it down. He recommended we take one of the teachers out of that account. So it actually, with him coming here, that 2 hours, I think, helped solidify my view that we had the ability to pay for that.
That's great. Okay. Anything further? Mm-hmm. Is it around?
Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. Okay. For item E, I'd like to move that we pass the position for the support person for special ed, ELL testing, and title paraprofessional, and added support for the staff and students.
Two separate positions, right?
Two separate positions.
Two
one's
separate
special
positions.
Ed, one's title.
Right.
They have those two have to be separate. They're okay. Two total separate funding mechanisms.
So for clarity, that would be two separate positions pertaining to those tasks.
I'll second that motion.
Mr. Almost seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Letter F is what we discussed with the attorney dealing with the IRS. And the recommendation is that we move that we make those payments. You've already approved all of the payments. They were approved as everything was collected. So we would then take and make those payments as the IRS says the amounts are due and owing. And so then we would be able to get that off of our plate and cleaned up.
Move forward. So we really don't have any discussions. We've discussed it sufficiently. So at this time, I'll go ahead and read the document that was suggested by legal, saying in executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03.A.3, discussion and consultation with the district's attorney for legal advice regarding the payroll tax issue for the opening, approval of the payments for the amounts due and owing to the IRS services. And I'd like to make a motion that the board authorize payment to the Internal Revenue Service for the amounts currently due and owing.
Second that motion.
Mr. Romero, seconds. Aye.
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 I forgot to include one thing, and we can actually wait till the next meeting if you would like. I did get one volunteer at our open house the other night. I asked the parents if anyone wanted to be willing to volunteer for classroom help and things. And I did have a lady, a mother, come up and volunteer to help with some different things and also in the classroom. And but since I forgot to put it on the agenda,
To tell you the truth, if it's a volunteer, normally if they're working under the direction of a teacher,
right?
We normally don't even. How do you feel about that? We normally.
Well,
sometimes
I
we have.
I like for you to know who's coming in our building.
Okay.
So what I'll do is I don't have anything on the horizon that I see.
Actually, something else that kind of come up to me. Might not be a bad idea because I'd gotten some information on somebody else that I was kind of concerned about, and so that might not be a bad thing to start doing that. I guess.
Yeah. So. I will. What I'll do is I'll include this in my superintendent report to you guys, but I'll put it on the agenda next time.
Okay.
I just because if I would have realized, I thought I had included her with the volunteers, and I had not, so I apologize for that.
Okay, that's all right. So we concluded item F.
Let me take a look. It's not under the agenda item for substitutes.
No.
Right now?
I was under the consent. I put the substitute under consent, and I think I forgot to put volunteer with it.
Oh, okay.
That was my.
I thought the volunteers were under the substitute.
Yeah.
I
did it that last meeting, but I forgot to do it here.
Didn't the substitutes make like almost $100 a day for that volunteer? Sorry. Volunteer is a big deal. I always did it. It's fine. Okay. So, at this time, did you all come for a call to the public?
I did, but I don't know if it's too late. I noticed that it's in the beginning.
I've got a TVS?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you just coming? I just didn't know if you came to speak or not.
No.
Oh, okay. Alrighty. Ms. Almost, you had something you wanted to say?
Well, since you brought up the whole volunteer, I was wondering about PTO, about
is it conflict?
No, about starting a PTO, because we've gone away from it for so long, bringing it back.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, so the parents have and the teachers talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Bring the.
That'd be a great idea. We started one where I was at. For the last 2 years, it was one of the best things that happened. If you would be willing to come in, and we maybe could sit down, and then kind of after we talk, maybe we could get something set up where we could get some teachers and get some information out to some parents and see if we could get some others, because I think this mother would come in and...
Yeah, I know a few, too.
Yeah.
We haven't had this for so long. I mean, my husband
right.
here in kindergarten, he's in sixth grade, and it's never been brought up.
We haven't done it in a long time.
Yeah.
And in fact, since it's not on the agenda,
yeah.
I would... It'd probably be better if you guys do go ahead and have that discussion, if you don't
mind. We can do that. Just stop in sometime and...
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Perfect.
When you come, when great. You can help me fly some people
okay.
down.
Okay.
All right. Anytime.
Yay.
Could never turn that help down.
So that concludes our action items. So that brings us to item 6 and the superintendent's report.
Okay. Probably have already talked about most of this stuff, so I'm going to skip past some of it. We made adjustments in the lunch and recess schedule. First day was kind of crazy, and every day has gotten better. I do think that the staff like it now. What we did was we went and we send the kids out for recess first, and then we bring them in to eat. We extended the lunch time 5 more minutes, about 7 more minutes, I think they get. And that way, when they get at the end of the line for their grade, they still get at least close to 15 minutes to eat. Our junior high, we have a 30-minute lunch period. They go in and eat, and when they're done eating and they're ready, if they want to go outside, they can go outside. Today, our 7th and 8th graders stayed inside the whole time, and it was too hot. So they didn't realize they were even in there half an hour. But the elementary teachers, the feedback I've gotten has been better. It improved. Miss Mott was on control for the first week, and that was kind of chaotic, but we got through it. But I think it's gotten better and better each day. So the kids are getting used to it. And the whole goal behind that was really, as the kids de-escalate from the recess and then eat and then go back to class, you really got a good right after lunch academic time. And so that was our goal, and it seems like the positive feedback has been there. So, I mean, I know right now we have 21 kindergartners, I think, in each classroom, so that's a bit of a challenge. But I think for the older kids and things, it's been better. So we're going to keep plugging away. The elementary split classrooms, it seems like we've had positive feedback on that, though our numbers are creeping up. You know, it's. I'm really glad we split them, because I think the smallest class size we have right now is 17 and 17 in the first grade, I want to say. You would know, Jewel.
I should know, but I can't.
Okay. So, yeah, you know, so that right there is 34 kids. So, I mean, we've got some really solid numbers. We have turned away kids. I think we've turned away about 5 kindergartners in the last week and a half. So... we have some things we talked about. I had meetings with each level of the staff, and I'll let you guys know. But one of the things we talked about is something that I started about 6 years ago called PIE conferences. I called it PIE conferences, Parents Involved in Education. The teachers took me literally where I was at, and they made pies, and they had parents sign up, and the parents come in, and the parents lead about a 10 or 15 minute conference talking about their kids, what they would like to see their kids do, their goals, strengths, challenges of their kids, it's been very, very positive. I know both of the schools that I left are still carrying it on. The teachers are interested in checking it out. It's something new again, and we didn't want to try too many new things, so that's going to be on, and we'll talk about it about December when we start thinking about putting together a calendar for next year. But that's something that will probably come back to you. It does give the teachers a chance to start that relationship with the parents early on and all that fun stuff. Also, another thing that you may hear about is peer observations. One thing I'm very big on is trying to get teachers into other people's classrooms and letting them watch somebody else teach and picking up some tools from them. I think we have people who have strengths that they can share. We don't have to send somebody to Tucson or Phoenix to listen to somebody tell us what to do in the classrooms. I think being able to go into other classrooms, watching somebody else teach, you can pick things up, good and bad. I mean, you know, in life you might see somebody make a mistake, and that in your mind you know how to handle it in a different way. But generally speaking, I always call it adding things to our toolbox, because you never know when you're going to need another way to reach a kid. Fifth thing there, we put in place noon-hour detentions for our elementary and afternoon detentions for middle school students who are falling behind or not following the rules. And so what we have is we just have a little place where at lunch for our K through 5 students, they will, if we haven't had any yet, so it's been great, but you know, if anybody ever gets in trouble, they will take their lunch and they will eat with one of our paras. Probably in this room is where we'll eat, so we'll try to keep the tables clean for you guys. But and they'll spend their 20 or 25 minutes in here, and then they'll go back to class. And the penalty, obviously, is a social part, not being able to be with your friends. So we're hoping that that's big for the K-5, but also for the middle school, because they like to be with their buddies. And,
so you do the same thing with middle school also?
Middle school, what we're doing is the 8th period. We're doing that when they're in their elective class.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the penalty. And if they have to miss that elective class that they kind of want to be in, that's a penalty. And they're in there, a lot of them, you know, talk to their friends and decided what they were going to take. So the electives have been going pretty well. Heard some good things. The kids seem to really like them. So I'm glad we tried it. That was the teachers are the ones, actually the elementary teachers are the ones who gave me the idea to go back to that. So when I asked the junior high teachers, they were all for it if we could figure out a schedule. And the way the schedule worked out, we really kind of had to go to an 8-period day to work it anyway. So then the electives worked out wonderful. So that was good. I think it's been a positive. And the last thing is there's a leadership training. And honestly, I think it's going to tie in with PTO. When it's for family community engagement. It's a 4-hour training or 6-hour training. They have about 6 different dates coming up sometime in September that I just got information on. I think you might have forwarded it to me. I just thought it would be good because, you know, like we struggled to get extra people in from the community. So the more support, the more we could do with that, the more it would tie in with something like a PTO. I think that would be all beneficial. I think that the more we get the people in the community behind the school, knowing what the kids are doing, and we can show things in a positive light, the better. So I'm going to try to look at it and try to find a time when maybe it's on a Friday or something like that when we have a shorter day, and I've already got the training already set up, and maybe slide over and try to do that and pick up some different tips on it. It's a brand new program in Arizona this fall. They're just starting it. So I thought it looked like it was worth looking into. So that's really all I have for you right now. I will get you the volunteer and all that information, and we'll sit down and talk about PTO, and I'll get you guys all an update on that also.
I was thinking about something for maybe our next meeting, so we can discuss this getting rid of uniforms.
Okay.
And coming up with a dress code instead.
Here's what we had to do last time. We actually sent home a notice to every parent. Unfortunately, it was a little rigged because some people got the survey and some people didn't. And so I would recommend that if we're going to do that we get the involvement of the parents, don't you think?
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I think that would be a good discussion. People have approached me about that also. And I know that, like, that part of the question is about cost. And like when my girls, if they moved up, I just would donate their clothes back to Janice, the bus driver, because she knew who was needy and who wasn't. And so that's always, we need to encourage people to do that when they outgrow their clothes. But I think there's probably a good
There's pluses and minuses discussion. With both. I mean, right. This is the first school I've been in with uniforms. I mean, I can honestly say I kind of like it because the kids are all, you don't have to worry
know
about
who's who.
Different things. I mean, they all look really nice, and, you know, they've got 3 or 4 different colors that they're wearing. But the only thing you get into now, and the hardest thing, and you see it, you know, in police work and things too, but fashion right now. And for girls, less is more. And so I truly mean less is more. There are, they they get cheated. When they go to buy a pair of shorts, they're only getting a quarter of the shorts that they should be getting.
That's true.
And the skirts and everything else. So, I mean, that's where you run into your issues. And that gives you your headaches. Most of the time, it's just right away, and this is what we have. One of the things we went to was we got some ugly T-shirts. So if they were wearing anything inappropriate, we gave them another
T-shirt. That's all we've done
now. A long ugly T-shirt, and they had to wear that all
day. Nobody else wore that thing.
It made them not want to dress that way. But that's the only thing other than that. I mean, I get the added cost thing, but I do know that there are a few less of those little things that you got to take care of. But,
well, and it's also one of those things that you can get expensive uniforms, or you can go to the boys' department at Walmart and get a $5 polo shirt versus a $9 girls' polo shirt. And so there's little tricks, but I think it might be a good time for discussion because that has come up.
I think it's worth having to talk about, and then I think we get the parents, and that's honestly something where if we were able to get a PTO involved, that's a great thing that they could help us with gathering some information.
We need a uniform store around here. That's what we need.
Huh?
We need a uniform store around here. That's what we don't have.
Yeah.
Like my son, I only found him 2 pair of shorts everywhere in Terre Vista.
You couldn't find it?
No.
Oh.
So that's why it's the hard. So some students are bigger than others.
Yeah.
And it gets more difficult to find.
It sounds like there are a lot of schools around here.
The reason I really liked it is because I didn't have to worry about what they're going to wear. But I had girls, you know, so it's like, so it was really kind of nice. You really knew what you were wearing.
I went to Ross, and every time I went to Ross, I would go through the men's section. That's how my son is right now. He's too big for the kids section. So I would grab pants. If I saw the khaki pants, and he only wears khaki and the red shirt, so I was like, yes. So I was very lucky that I found him the time that I went to the store and got him.
Yeah.
But that's it. So, but yeah, you're right. It is hard.
Okay, I'll put that down for a discussion topic, and then we can get the ball rolling with trying to figure out how we.
This would be something like for next year, right?
Yeah, it would be something that you would look into. Like we start the discussion now, and then we try to get a survey out to the parents
involved.
So then you could do it for as of next year for the next school year. It'd be something you'd do in. Well, you could do it any time for the following school year.
So I'm really concerned about people that have already purchased uniforms for this school year. You know,
they could always come to school with uniform.
Yeah, they're gonna love that. Let's see how many volunteer for that one.
I'll put that on the list for now.
And so, Tim, what do you want to do? You want to send a tentative date? Let's just say, because normally on the superintendent's report, let's just say that the first Tuesday of next month, we will probably have a tentative thing, but we can always change that.
A special meeting?
Our regular meeting.
Well,
we don't have to. We're saying tentatively.
The first Tuesday of September, I'm at that law conference.
Oh, okay. So let's say we'll worry about it.
We can go the second
Tuesday.
The second Tuesday, Heinfield and Meech is putting on a thing about the audit and making sure all of your stuff is ready and prepared for the audit. So I told Donna that I would pick her up and we would go to that so we make sure everything is in proper order.
You want to just wait and see how it unfolds? Because you guys will be really crammed from here to the end of the month anyway. And there might be other things that come up. So you want to just wait and see how...
Well, we're going to have a special meeting to hire if we are able to hire.
So let's just worry about that.
So we can set it then at the special meeting.
Right.
And I don't want to set a date for that special meeting because I'm just not... We shouldn't post it for...
That's all right.
What's going on with the teachers from the Philippines?
I got notification on the first two. One of them had their final interview and is waiting on the processing, and they felt like they would be in the United States or on the way to the United States end of this week, beginning of next week. The second one is about a day and a half behind her, and so they're going to be pretty close to the second. It looks like they're going to be about a week. We had hoped for the 15th. It's probably going to be about a week behind that.
Okay.
And then the math teacher is got their first interview set up, but that's...
She's the first one coming in,
though,
the math teacher.
She's 2 weeks behind everybody, 2.5 weeks behind everybody else.
Oh, okay.
So the fourth grade teacher will be the first one here, then second grade teacher will be here, and then unless they both, for some reason, both get the clearance on the same day. I don't know what the number, the file number, like it's a something 21 or 921. I don't know the number. I just know that I've been getting updates daily from the consulate and from the lady in Gila Bend that has been working that's related to that one. And so that's how I've been keeping up on it. Almost every day I get one or two emails of what's going on. So.
Okay, great.
As soon as they get here, we'll be happy.
Questions? Alrighty. So we don't have anything further. That concludes your superintendent's report.
That's it. Yes.
Okay, without anything further for item 7, I'd like to move to adjourn at 6:27.
Second.
Almost seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. So we push this button?
Mm-hmm.